Chapter 19. When Lupe heard the crunch, she knew it had something to do with Bobby. Guy could mess up an omelet. She stayed put, scrunched down in the Celica a block away from the medical center, parked in front of a Korean grocer. When the cop car started showing up, she figured Bobby had blown it and it was time to split. Good thing Bobby taught her how to drive. Good thing the Celica had an automatic. Driving too fast, sitting too low, Lupe made her way to the switching yard, parking the car in a cinder lot next to a rusting Erie and Lackawanna pickup truck. She was leery of leaving Bobby's fine ride unattended, but there was nothing to be done for it. The car was not visible from the street and would hopefully still be there when she came back. Damn all thieves anyway, she thought. The old woman was asleep when Lupe reached her shack, flat on her back on her makeshift bed, making a noise like a low-pressure valve. Lupe knocked loudly on the rickety wood door frame. Knock knock, she boomed. Estrella sputtered, opened her eyes, did a little jolt like she didn't know where she was, recovered, and sat up. What you want with Estrella, girl?
Lupe.
My name is Lupe. Don't you remember? I was here yesterday. I paid you $200 to help me get rid of the lady cop. Estrella reached for her cigarettes.
Dat right.
How'd it go?
Not good.
Bobby never came out.
I think he blew it.
Estrella lit her cigarette with a pungent Zippo, puffing like a locomotive building up ahead of steam. She fumbled around among her cushions and produced a police scanner. She turned it on, adjusting the frequency. Snatches of conversations came and went. Responding to automobile fatality in the parking garage of the Neem Medical Center, Prospect Place in Brooklyn. Looks like a gangbanger waiting to assault someone. The dumb sumbitch assaulted Detective Pezzini, Manhattan Homicide South.
Holy shit.
Pezzini? The monster cop?
Yup, that's the one.
Poor bastard. Madame Estrella turned off the scanner and buried it beneath the cushions.
So, you is right.
You give him the charm?
I gave it to him.
Dis witch more powerful than I thought.
My mistake.
I told you I make it right, girl, and I will. I see now dis Bobby a weak vessel in which we place our hopes. It be mistake to send just one man. You need five to take her down.
Lupe reeled.
She knew Los Tecolotes, but they were likely to be furious when they found out Bobby was dead. That could work to her advantage. Also, she hadn't met a boy yet whose head couldn't be turned by a blowjob. If she had to offer Sarita to Los Tecolotes, she would. What was family for anyways? Otherwise, you must do the deed yourself.
Lupe thought about it.
She was not afraid of the lady cop. The only thing she feared was getting caught, spending the rest of her life behind bars.
Tell me how to stop her with my homies.
The witch fluttered her fingers, palms up.
I need $200 more.
Lupe's mouth dropped open.
I already gave you $200, and your stupid plan didn't work?
All I know, the cops come looking for me next.
Madame Estrella.
You see that Zippo lighter by your knee?
Madame Estrella's claw automatically closed around the lighter.
That Zippo lighter carries a lifetime guarantee with no conditions. Once you pay for it, it works or the Zippo company replaces it free.
And that lighter only cost 10 bucks?
Madam, I'd like to tell the community good things about you. But here you be, charging me twice for the same job.
Estrella held up her hand.
I see you point, girl.
Hokey.
Dis what I do.
I help you dis time, no more money, cause I should done right by you in a first place.
It dis witch, she much more powerful than I first think.
Madam Estrella should have charge you 500.
But what's done is done.
You listen to madam, and if she work for you dis time, you don't forget come back and see your madam.
The Celica remained untouched where Lupe had left it. She let herself in, started the engine, and headed for home.
Problem.
Where could she leave Bobby's ride that it wouldn't get ripped off? Bobby had kept the car right in front of his crib on Duke Street, watched over by his homies and his pit bull Samson. But if Lupe showed up, they'd want to know what happened. Once they learned, they'd never let her keep it.
Certainly Chango, Bobby's second in command, would demand the car for himself.
Lupe figured she had as much right to the car as anyone. Bobby owed her that much for screwing up the plan.
The more she thought about it, the more Lupe figured Bobby owed her.
He'd only succeeded in making her life more difficult. She thought about parking the car directly beneath her window, but the cops would notice and come with questions. After driving around for a while, Lupe headed for the church. St. Patrick's in Brooklyn wasn't like St. Patrick's in Manhattan, but it was a substantial church made of good Vermont granite,
with a small parking lot in back surrounded by a chain-link fence. More importantly, the parking lot was invisible to anyone on the street, and Los Tecolotes had nothing to do with the church. Lupe bumped the Celica up over the high driveway sill, driving carefully between the charcoal granite wall of the church on the left, and the red brick wall of the apartment building on the right, red brick which bore many a scrape attesting to the narrowness of the alley. Lupe barely had 6 inches clearance on either side. She got the car back there without mishap and parked it next to an old Cadillac sedan. Lupe shut the engine off and breathed deeply. She hadn't realized what a strain driving was. She wasn't used to driving, and had tensed every muscle in her body, fearing a collision. It was a relief just to sit there surrounded by high walls with nobody giving her any crap. After a while, she leaned over and flipped open the glove compartment. May as well check her assets. Bingo. A loaded Ruger P93. She slipped it into her BUM original equipment backpack, which served as her purse. The door to the church opened with a hideous screech. Father Donegan emerged on the concrete lip and stared down 4 feet into the parking lot. "Excuse me," he said. Lupe got out and smiled. "Hello, Father. It's me, Lupe Gutierrez." "Lupe?" The priest's face cracked in a smile as he came carefully down the iron steps, holding tightly to the rail. He had to be in his late 70s. He'd been there long before Lupe came to New York. Before Lupe was born. "Haven't seen you at church in a while. What are you doing back here? Is that your car?" "Father, it's for my mother. It's a gift. We all pitched in together, all the kids and cousins and nieces and nephews. It's for her 40th birthday." "Why, that's wonderful, Lupe. I wasn't aware your mother drove." "Oh, she always want to drive, but she say, what am I going to drive? I'll never have a car. Don't worry. We not let her drive around till she get her license. But Father, it's a secret. I won't tell anyone. Can we keep it here for a few days? Until her birthday?" "When's her birthday?" Lupe did some fast mental calculation. She needed to buy as much time as possible without arousing the priest's suspicions. 4 days. Everything should be settled by then. Till Thursday? I don't see a problem. "Now Lupe, if you're not in a hurry, you could come in and I could take your confession." "I'm sorry Father, but I have to get home right away to look after my little sister Sarita." "Go then child, with God's blessing." Lupe walked the 6 blocks home, stopping at a Walgreens for a jumbo bottle of mouthwash. 14-year-old Sarita was plunked down in the living room watching Ricky Lake. "Hey sorry," Lupe said. "You want to have some fun?"